This episode of Spittin' Chiclets is brought to you by Sauce Hockey. We all know that hockey is more than just a game. It's a culture and a way of life. The best players carry that swagger off the ice and are definitely known to have a bit of fun in the process. Sauce Hockey is a full line of apparel that tells the hockey story from every level. Whether you're a savvy veteran that's been around the block or a local legend playing beer leagues with the boys, Sauce Hockey has the threads for you. Sauce has the sickest lids around to make your hockey flow pop, and they even got you covered in the polo department. Their t-shirts are soft for the puppy ears and feature fresh designs that will definitely help your off-ice plus-minus if you catch my drift. You'll even find barbecue sets made of broken twigs and other accessories like their boxers and socks, which are also A+. To make matters even better, the beauties over at Sauce Hockey are giving us an exclusive 30% off with the discount code Chiclets. You heard that right. 30% off with the discount code Chiclets. Sauce has also made the best t-shirt of the month club out there, which sends you an original design from a part of the history of hockey. For only $30 or less than a 24-pack of Molson, you can get a piece of hockey history delivered right to your door. The club has featured storied barns such as the Met Center, the Yale Whale, the Ralph, and recently did a tribute to Herb Brooks, which is still available on the website. Oh, and did you know? One of our favorite reoccurring guests, Commie, Mike Commodore, has partnered with Sauce to produce his exclusive in-one apparel featuring tarps, sweaters, and buckets, donning the legend himself. I just got mine, so make sure you get yours. So make sure to head on over to saucehockey.com to get in-one and take advantage of 30% off by using code Chiclets. That's SAUCEHockey.com, code Chiclets. This episode is also brought to you by DraftKings. Hockey season is in full swing, but it's not too late to get in on the action with one-day fantasy hockey at DraftKings.com. Tonight, you can play free with your first deposit for over $5,000 in total prizes. With DraftKings, there are many ways to play this, so choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can face off with a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level. All you have to do is pick your team and start racking up points for goals, assists, shots, and even more. The best part, you get to draft a new team each day. My fantasy hockey team, already screwed. Half my team's injured. Best part about DraftKings, you can pick a new team every day. The only thing better than that, winning cash doing it. And there's no better way to put your hockey knowledge to the test than DraftKings. So hurry to DraftKings.com/barstool to sign up and play free with your first deposit for your share of over $5,000 in total prizes. That link again is DraftKings.com/barstool to play for free with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 56.
What up, what up?
What up,
Timo Hartikainen, you guys know who he is?
No, I always say Andre Tippett, different sport.
Yeah, you got to go hockey for this hockey podcast.
Timo
Hartikainen and... I don't know if I'm saying it right. Played in Edmonton with me. Played in the KHL. Finnish guy.
I'm
tough player. Couldn't skate very well, but really good.
Hello, gentlemen.
And who's here?
Very special guest. The Arizona Coyotes were in town. They brought a particular individual with them.
He's a special person.
You know him as Biz Nasty 2.0 on Twitterland. Welcome to the show, Paul Bissonnette.
Live in studio.
Dude, what do you think of our studio?
It's amazing.
Isn't it unreal?
I was kind of rattled you kicked me off.
We're not
couch.
Drinking right now.
I know. Yeah, I know. But, it's like, what?
Yeah, you have a game to work tonight.
But I was mad when you kicked me off the couch, but this bar stool is extremely
comfortable.
And that's not I didn't say that because we're on bar stool either.
That because you were on a comfy couch and we said, no, you have to sit on the chair right there and stare at us.
But
as
it's
we do
comfy.
This.
Because it took my wife about 9,000 trips to the fucking store to pick them up.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Take that one.
Well, welcome to our state-of-the-art studio here in lovely South Boston.
What do you think about, for people who don't know, Biz this year is doing the radio for the Radio Color? Radio Color, right? Yep. For the Phoenix Coyotes, who Arizona. Got off to a really strong start. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. No, they've picked it up, though. They've picked it up. 500 in their last 16 games, I believe, and... As you're on the road and you're traveling, like, Can you give us, you know, you got any good road cities, your favorite ones to go to as a broadcaster as opposed to being a player?
Well, we were fortunate enough. This, at the beginning of the season, before it got really cold, we spent 5 days in NYC in the same hotel, which...
Yes, big difference.
Huge difference. You're not bouncing. You're not...
Basically, you can go in, you can put your clothes in your closet, and you're there.
Exactly.
I don't like knowing I have to leave the next day for another hotel.
For the only time in ever, in I unpacked my bags, hung up myself. I even put my underwear and socks in a drawer in a hotel.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Then you know, like, I got 5 nights where I don't even have a game either.
Oh, and NYC. So we went out for some nice dinners, and it was an awesome time.
So what's the biggest difference probably is, as doing this as a color guy, you must have just way more time because you don't have to practice, you don't have the meetings, you don't have the, you know, the rigors of having to, you know, deal with the NHL road schedule. How are you feeling? How are you feeling all that time? What are you doing? Not waste time. Are you doing anything productive? Like, say in New York City, where you go to your museums? Are you a museum guy?
Yeah, what museums you go to?
It seems like a culture guy.
Yeah.
Like,
well, to be fair,
there's a good club called Museum.
It's open Tuesdays and
unreal.
What do you do?
But like, you laughed. I went and saw the not a museum, but I went and saw the
Hamilton.
No, the
Empire State Building. Empire State.
No,
Building.
God, the one that fell.
Oh,
down.
Freedom Tower.
Freedom Tower. Sorry,
pretty sick.
Christ, I was drawing
pretty
a blank
sick.
There. But I went and did that. But the best part about it is I was never shy to chase it on the road, even when I was playing.
So now,
I can do it and not have to get my body up in the morning to practice and then obviously end up playing a game.
And how about, like, basically you're on the road now with flashing green lights every night.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you get? One flashing green light a year and then a couple yellows and, like, maybe a red that you run. But this time,
right, flashing. and then typically the green light you'd get when you were playing was in like Buffalo, and you'd be like, Christ.
Well, we got that night in Columbus.
Yeah, that big one we had, and it was like a Tuesday. It was just, people are like, Tuesdays, nothing really going on on Tuesdays.
Oh,
like,
Tuesday
fuck!
In Buffalo, there's a rib joint down the street. They only take cash, so and they close at 11.
But that's a great question though. I it's been great. The only problem though is the Coyotes set a record for most road games within the first, I believe, 60 games of the season. When this road trip is up, we play here, then Columbus, Chicago. We would have played 21 road games in the first 60 days of the season.
So not only is it almost a game every other day, it's they're all on the road. So was there something going on, or is that just totally random?
Well, the league schedules it like that because we get the snowbirds in the wintertime. So for ticket sales, it makes more sense for us to not compete with football and, of course, wait till snowbirds come in order to sell tickets.
That makes sense. I didn't even think of that.
So now we have a huge home stretch coming up holidays...
And I mean, the home ice advantage there is just...
Can we celebrate the best question that RA's ever asked me, and I've been on the show like 12 times?
Yeah, that was a really good question. I gave it to him before the episode.
But that's weird, because it kind of rigs it almost against the Coyotes in a way. Because, you know, they got to kick the season off, and, like, you know, obviously you want some home games, and theoretically you're going to win more at home.
Saying that there'll be more people at the games. So if you do start with nobody in the crowd, maybe thinking, right? I mean, the fans must go up a little
bit. But going to where RA's going is, if I was playing under these circumstances, like, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I told you our schedule, your jaw would drop. That's how crazy it is. And it did. I mean, we started out, we didn't win a regulation game for 20 games.
I mean, I was watching, and I didn't know if they were going to end up getting one. But now, like you've said, I mean, in fairness, they've had games where they've looked really good. I always say tonight. This is Thursday. I'm going to pound the Bruins, see how that goes. But I do not think they're a team, like, at the beginning of the year that looked horrendous. Now they look like they could compete, and they have guys like, what's his, Pellini?
Keller? Oh, Perlini's good.
Perlini.
Yeah. Sniper.
I like that guy. He could skate. Is he American too?
No, he was actually born in Cardiff, Wales, where I played in the EIHL.
He's from England?
Well, his dad was playing in that league. Yes.
Really?
Yes. So there's the connection.
I
just watched a segment on that. It was like CBS Sunday morning. You don't watch that, do you?
No.
It's a good little show.
No, Witt's still sleeping then.
It's like a news show, but it's like real mellow, like news show. And it's like when you're just waking up, it's like perfect. But they did a segment on that. I was thinking of you too, because, you know, we told you crazy Cardiff stories. By the way, that was the longest answer ever to say, no, I don't go to museums on the road too.
Well, no, but do you go to the rink for pregame skate? I wanted to ask that.
On the road, yes. I I think I've missed. Well, I didn't go today because I was doing this, it was an optional. But
most time you go get an interview or just kind of chill.
No, I don't interview the players. I just go to see what the lines are going to be. And Bob Heathouse, who's been the main guy, he prepares like a crazy person. I'll read the game and I'll make comments, and then he'll back it up with statistical data and make me look like a genius. That's actually,
what a team! What a team! Teamwork? Yeah, great teamwork. What a partnership!
I told him. I said any contract I ask for with the Coyotes moving forward, I said I wanted him.
Like
to
you're
get
a
the
part of
term.
My. You're with
We're
me
a
no
team.
Matter what.
I'm loyal. Like
that's
that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What about in terms of like when you go in the locker room because you're going to check out the lines? Like, is it hard to like not bird watch to make sure you're not looking? Like, because guys would be like, dude, you know, they'll be on the reporters. Like, that guy's always checking out hogs.
Well, first of all, I don't go in the locker room.
Okay.
I don't. But to get on the hog talk. Like people will be like, some guys might listen to this and maybe never listen to the show again, but I don't really care.
People are turning it off right now.
I remember certain guys I play with by their what their cocks look like, and I wouldn't even be able to tell you their first and last name. And tell me if it's true or not.
Speaking of that, we had our son Ryder. He was circumcised, and we actually were saying right away. I said, "I'm not having a kid with some covered wagon walking around the locker room."
I know. I used to get
Biz and his anteater rolling around Pittsburgh.
Yans used to call me like Snuffleupagus and stuff. He used to tell me to like donate the rest of it to like victims who did, like miss skin to help them out. And I'm like, come on, man.
Oh, you're like, Keith, lay off me. Oh,
by the way, welcome back, Wits. We just regatta. We were so
thank
excited.
Thank you very much.
That's selfish that he did it in season.
I know guys would have showed up, but no, we didn't. You know, we didn't. You know,
to miss an episode is just like a sly. Listen, I tried leaving, and she's like, "Get over you are not leaving." No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, true story. I think was Daryl Sutter coaching Calgary before he went. Was it Daryl?
No, Daryl Sutter was in L.A. What do you
yes,
mean?
Yes. Before that, was he
no,
ever?
Brent Sutter was coaching Calgary. Oh,
okay, was it Brent Sutter?
Yeah.
Daryl coached them in 2004 when they lost to
the
Tampa
right.
Bay.
Oh, okay. Sutter brothers coached the Flames? Right?
Brian
yes.
did too, yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, Brent did.
So to rewind... I heard stories when Daryl was there that he would legit like hold a grudge on guys who had kids during the season.
He's like, you fucking mother.
He's
yeah.
like, you're going to miss
like,
a
congrats,
game.
Congrats, but are you kidding me? Like, you're going to miss tilt?
I yeah, told you to pollute. Pollute,
like, coach.
Yeah, but listen.
Coach, kid's coming out any minute. He's like, wait. I'm going to wait to write down the lineup. You're going to let the boys down, just to let you know. But you go, but listen, go watch your kid get born.
Yeah, hey, man, good luck. I hope the kid's healthy, but we're struggling on the power play.
But like, kind of like in a joking way. So like, anyone who's listening to the story, don't take it seriously, and then write an article bashing Daryl Sutter, say he's like anti-life or something.
He just did it funny.
Yeah.
But I will say that for my season now is golf. So when I found out she was pregnant, I immediately thought I was like 9 months from now. Oh, and in November, I'm like, golf's over. This is the best time to have a kid. So I'll be trying to just plant the seed to get her pregnant,
yeah.
like just the beginning of March every year. I won't miss any golf.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. It's good to be back.
Pull out, eh?
It's yeah. No, I'm going to stay in now, guy.
So back to the lecture at hand. Pucks.
I just tie my foreskin in a knot. Anyway, sorry.
Vegas
already puked.
Vegas has had a really nice start there in the playoff hunt. A lot of people didn't see that coming, but I think it's something that people really didn't talk about ahead of time. Well, maybe in Arizona and Vegas they were, but we should have a nice little rivalry in the desert. I mean, the two cities are close. You know, LA and Anaheim have obviously paired off. You know, and of course, Seattle might have San Jose might have a dance partner with Seattle. We'll get to that in a minute. But as far as, having a rivalry, that's something I don't think Arizona really had, like, a natural rivalry. And now I think that's something that could be good. I mean, if the Coyotes can, get back to that level they were 5 years ago in Vegas, keep surprising people. I mean, you can never have too many rivalries. And I think that's a budding one. It could be a very budding one. But I think that's something to keep an eye on in the future.
Yeah, and I guess we should first touch on how good they are.
Yeah. Are they this good?
They're very, very good. Very.
So you said
deep.
That, man. When you just said that, I didn't say anything right away. It's before recording. I was like, really? Like, you think that?
I mean, every time I've seen them play, they've been impressive.
Yeah.
And they haven't
slowed down that much, really.
No, they have so many. They have two things going for them, I think. Well, one, they got to pick up all solid D. Anytime you have a good back end, you're going to have a decent team. And that was evident when we had our playoff runs and we made playoffs three consecutive years in Arizona. We were projected by the Hockey News to finish 14th, 14th, and 15th in those years in our division or conference. But we had a good back ends. We had Oliver. We had Jans. We had Derek Morris. We had a chance to win.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they do have. And also, Fleury, I mean, he hasn't been playing. That's the biggest miracle of all is that they've done this with five. They had a kid playing from Kamloops, right?
Yep.
I think a WHL player who, if going into the year, he probably didn't even want to get in the first game. He was brought up to back up in. But the fact that they've had to play all these guys and they've still won is just insane. So when they get Fleury back, he's skating now. I saw some video. That could be actually like there. Maybe they won't go anywhere. And like William Karlsson, like where did this come from?
Right. And that was going to be my second thing that they have is they seem to have got a lot of like borderline second line guys, maybe even third line guys, but. Let's be honest. They're essentially the NHL rejects. Each team didn't think they were good enough to be on their team anymore and not
There's
protect
no other
them.
Way to put it.
So these guys not Salary only have a chip on their shoulder and they have something to prove.
Yeah, but that's the same thing.
Now, I mean, now you got all these guys trying to prove something that were good players, and now they're getting even more minutes because they're all more relied upon than the teams they were at. Well, now you're starting to see some of these guys flourish.
Yeah.
Marchessault, we knew he was a good player. Did we know he was this good?
Yeah. No.
Same with Smith from Florida, who they let go.
And he was great, and then he struggled in Boston, and then Florida though letting him go, that's another one. Like, hey, go ahead, you know, we don't want to pay you. And it's just now that you not only do you get the chance, but you get the confidence, right? So like as a player, everyone says it in any sport, but confidence is everything. So these guys know, all right, well, I'm not going to get taken out of the lineup for a mistake. I was never even getting close to power play minutes. Now I'm getting those. I can kind of do something with it.
Yeah,
and I mean, just the fact that. The fact that they had to start the way they did with what happened in Vegas, then their crowd's been amazing, and then they had all the injuries, and they're still doing this. It shows how stupid the Panthers are for firing Gerard Gallant.
Okay, well, I didn't even mention the fact that Vegas Strong game was their first home opener. Well, it was their home opener.
Yeah, that was against you guys.
And it was against us.
Yeah, I max bet it.
Insane.
It was
insane.
That scene was incredible. And then they came out buzzing.
Oh, yeah. 4-0 the first period.
4-0 first period.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but that was, and you know, you wondered then, oh, is it just because it's
84
Arizona?
Oilers couldn't have stopped them that night. They were buzzing.
Shout out to Frankie Borelli of Barstool Sports. I don't know if you know him. He's like Dave's right-hand man at Barstool. He tried saying the other day that Wayne Gretzky wouldn't make an NHL roster currently. we don't have to get into it, but it was give your head a shake, Frankie. Really kind of disgusting take on the game's greatest player.
Now saying that, people get really upset when you say guys like, for instance, Crosby, I think is better than Gretzky.
Yeah,
and the disrespect.
People get rattled to that. It's different.
I get how much he dominated the game back then, and it was far superior than others. But if you're doing what Crosby's done with the goaltending and the defenders, the positions have gotten more athletic now from the back end. Whereas, do you think that Gretzky would have half the points he had back then if goaltenders were as good as they are now?
No. It's such an impossible argument, the whole thing, because you can't. It's a great argument because you can have it for fucking hours with your buddies and have all these different opinions, but it's impossible because we just don't know. Like, give Gretzky the current equipment that Crosby has.
True.
All I know is the fact that I played, I'm with you. It's because when I played, I'm like, I can't imagine somebody being better at hockey than Crosby was. Like, when you saw him do stuff, you're like, there's no way somebody could be better than that.
Well,
now people are, but in 20 years, man.
But here's this. I've seen McDavid and Crosby live in the flesh on the ice skate with them both. I would say McDavid's even more athletic on skates than Crosby. I feel like Crosby's a little bit more controlled.
And in 10 to 15 years, there's going to be some kid and they're like,
well, I mean, look at Austin Matthews.
Yeah, like this, but he's like with McDavid, I think. But in 10, 15 years, there's going to be somebody, dude, this kid's better than McDavid. This kid might be better than Matthews. And it'll always be like that.
I love that though. Like, I'm all about the McDavid hype.
Which is incredible. By the way, if it's not my kid Ryder, I'll be beating him if he misses the net in practice. Every bogey he makes in golf, no whopper. I'm gonna be a helicopter parent. Run home. You missed the net on that breakaway.
They call them helicopter parents.
I think so. Isn't that what a helicopter parent is?
Yeah, and they're up their ass. They're up their ass. The helicopter hovers, so it's like hovering over them. Hovering.
Okay.
You want to watch TV?
You can do like the hypotheticals, and yeah, they're fun. The bullshit, but like Biz said, the biggest difference, and it's so noticeable when you watch the old clips, is the goalies, man. It's like zero technique, man. Like, I mean,
and it's not the biggest, slowest guys on the point anymore either. You got to be able to move.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Larry Robinson was a pretty nasty fucking defenseman in his day. Like,
but he was.
And you were playing against guys who were completely hungover every game.
Buckled. Like going out and like pregame skate was made to have them sweat out the deuce.
Yes.
That's a known fact.
Smell like a Swanson's filet of soul.
Is pregame skate with Arizona? Do they do it? I've heard a lot of teams now are like completely done with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I want to say Columbus. Columbus is very anti, especially last season. Maybe they change it. I think it has a lot to do with how the team's playing too.
Yeah.
If you're playing well and you weren't pregame skating, the coach is going to run with that. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're not skating and then you're on an 0-10 run, you're skating pregame skate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other day, we more NHL news. Calgary took a tough loss at home to... Oh, this is going to drive me nuts.
Winnipeg?
No, I don't think so. But they were about to get on the plane to go to Toronto. Oh. And the no skate travel day got changed to the old 80-minute skate in Calgary, where all of a sudden you're just getting carved. And we heard about a bag skate of battle drills and all that for the Detroit Red Wings when they lost 10-1. 10-1 to the Montreal Canadiens last week.
Speaking of carved, our boy Matty Tkachuk has another hearing with the DOPS.
This guy is unbelievable. But,
I mean, to call it a spear is kind of to do it justice to a real spear.
Yeah. I have an opinion on it.
Okay, he was more like raking. He gave a little like if you're raking the leaves. He gave a little bit of a rake with the stick. Still did it from the bench. Still illegal, but he's probably going to get at least a game out of it.
I'd like to hear where you stand on this.
And it's an in-depth opinion. I feel that because of social media, the world has became so soft where anytime one little thing like that happens, nobody was hurting it. It was a stupid, dirty little play, and I'll agree with that. Whereas There's nothing to talk about anymore. Back then, regular season games were fun because you never know when it was going to be a bench brawl. Nowadays, if there's a fight, it's like, oh my, there was a fight at the hockey game last night.
I know. Viral.
And I don't want guys suffering later in life because of concussions and blah, blah, blah. But he gave him a little spear. Now, he did it the other game. They're going to give him probably, I guess, 3-4 games this time.
No way.
You think he's going to get less?
I didn't even think he might necessarily. Does he definitely get a game for that? It's not that bad.
He got a prior. It's fresh in the memory.
Okay, the prior thing will kill him. But Biz, in a way, you're right because, for example, this was totally on accident, but I speared Ovechkin in the balls.
Oh.
At the end of a period, and I ended up getting fined for it. I didn't get suspended, and he was down screaming in pain. But this was like 2007.
Guaranteed,
it would have probably gone viral now, like Ovechkin getting speared, and then like you never know.
Death threats, man. wouldn't even be alive right now if this was now.
KGB,
you wouldn't even have a kid. You'd be dead.
So, but my thing about Tkachuk is like. I actually love like a guy playing the way he does.
Love it.
What an awesome teammate to have. As crazy as it sounds, the guys must love playing with him because he's good too. And he's just he's a rat. There's no other way to put it. If he took offense to that, I don't really know what to say because that's how he plays. He's a very effective player by being a pain in the ass and being skilled.
There's always going to be room for a guy like that who can play a little bit and is
especially if they can play but he's gonna reel it in a little. Like I don't even think it necessarily should be in a suspension. Like you said, it wasn't a spear.
No,
it was a jab, but he's on the bench. They're so stupid to do that.
And like you said, this isn't an insult. I watched him play and I wanted to kill him.
Yeah, that's
but
amazing. Though.
That's a compliment.
That's a compliment. Imagine.
He was a factor. He's the guy where he doesn't have any points in the game, but you're talking about him after the game.
Yeah,
and he's relevant. And like you said, he's a great school. Little player. And he probably learned it from his own man or old man. And more guys should play with an edge like that because it just adds another dimension to your game. Don't let these PC writers tell you that, oh, that's dirty. There should be no players in the game like that. It's like, are you kidding me? Have you ever had to feel one bit of anxiety while being on the ice, while 20,000 people are looking at you and dying on your every move? No, they don't know what it's like. They sit in their cubicles and write that. Sure, have your opinion, but that guys like that are needed in the NHL and they will always have a place.
And I can honestly say that I would be when I would be playing a guy like that. I don't care who you are. You on the back of your mind, you're like, where is he? Where is he? If he's on the ice, where is he? What is he doing? You know, you make a breakout pass. You know, someone like that's on the ice, and that affects players. I mean, there's no other way of putting it because it's in your head. And the fact that some people don't like it, that'll forever be a valuable player in the NHL. Someone who's good and that is a piece of shit. And it's pretty much how he plays. He's
Rafi Torres kept getting jobs. I play with him. I thought he was one of the best teammates I ever had. He another guy who maybe took it over the line a little bit.
The headshots there, kind of, you know, Kachuk had a headshot. Oh, and Doughty.
But I'll
the elbow,
And I'll say this, though, is, as you just mentioned, it's in your subconscious. You might not think it's you're affected by it.
You are.
But now you're, where's Kachuk? Is he going to spear me after this whistle?
It's an element of, like, psychological warfare to it, in a way, you know? And someone on Twitter, someone said, what would his father say about you saying he calling his kid Claude the Mule? I'm like, well, first off, I don't assume his father listens to my podcast. Second,
wait, Keith Kachuk listens to my podcast?
He probably wouldn't care because Claude the Mule won 4 cups in a Conn Smythe, so that's probably like, I don't think he'd really take it personal. Plus, if he watches his kid play hockey, it's a pretty apt comparison.
I just think this kid I grew up playing with, Brian McConnell, we started playing together when we were 12 years old. We then went to high school, went to the USA program, went to BU together. He was a Calgary Flames draft pick. He was a dirty, dirty hog bear. From the time we were 11, he would spear and run guys over, and I forever was like, oh, McConnell, fuck, that guy's psychotic out there. And I'll always think back, like, you just, players like that will forever be effective because if you can play and act like that, you are a wild card.
And you know what's crazy is how this kind of conversation maybe started randomly. Another main guy that I can think off the top of my head is Derek Dorsett, who is exactly that type of player.
Yeah, so that's great. You brought that up. For those of you who don't know, Derek Dorsett of the Vancouver Canucks, pretty much, you know, he got the worst news any athlete can hear, and that is that he's advised to retire. His health, he had, I think it's like cervical neck fusion or I don't cervical fusion or surgery or something in his vertebrae where I think, you know, they probably told him, listen, you can get hit and be paralyzed.
Right.
That's what I'm kind of guessing.
Yeah, I didn't think spine involved.
But I didn't know. So you don't know him personally, you just remember playing against him. I remember him being speaking of people tough to play against.
Well, so he met a girl from Ohio I used to date a girl who was from Ohio. And so we actually ran into them a few times and that's where she communicated with her, and I found out he was a nice guy. Now, my first impressions of Derek Dorsett was I hated his guts. He was like a Matthew Tkachuk, the guy you want on your team, but I had to play against him. He played for Syracuse. They had
a little bulldog.
They had Kanopka. They had Nasi Mirasti.
Juiced up.
Yeah, juiced up. And then Dorsett, and then one other guy. Long story short, it was like you were playing back in the 70s where if you got up a few on a team and it was late, you were like, hey, let's keep this one tight or it's going to turn into a gong show.
You're like, listen, if we're up 2-0 early, don't even make it 3 early.
Do not make it 3.
You're on the bench. Well, no, but we did want to mention him because he really kind of is a 7th-round pick by Columbus. Totally just became a better player every year. It seemed like this year he had 7 goals through 20 games. Yeah. Best start of his career. So our thoughts are with him because, you know, that's something that's so hard. I wonder, though, like,
later in life,
I'm convinced that if an injury ends your career, it's horrible. But it's almost easier to take for some people because you couldn't do it anymore. Physically, it was impossible to do it anymore. Whereas a lot of guys who retire, they still feel like they can. And when you have somebody else saying, listen, no, you're not good enough anymore, it's tougher as retirement comes. Now, I was someone kind of both a little bit. I really couldn't play, same here. But I had, I really wasn't that good anymore. But I also had injuries that made it definite.
Yeah.
And forever, it's since that's the past years since I retired, it's easier in a sense for me.
But you also got to go sort of in your own terms too. You went back to the NHL.
A ton,
you know, your last Saint Louis, his isn't even.
I'm not even close.
Right.
To him.
You got. I would say you got closure. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And he had a sudden. Well, it's like Ryan.
It's not your fault.
It's sudden death.
It's not your fault, Ryan.
It really is.
It's not your fault.
It really is. Fuck you, man. Not you, man. Not you.
So I kind of had a similar experience with both. Whereas when I didn't get it re-upped by Phoenix, I went to St. Louis's camp on a PTO and I couldn't get a job after that. They released me. You know, we had a great time at camp. And then I sat on my couch for a month and a half. I was full on depressed.
Yeah.
I could barely get off the couch. Yeah. I felt like I was weak. I felt something was wrong with me.
We were texting all the time.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to Russia, dude. I'll trade spaces with you.
Yeah. We were both in tough places, right? So
would you play with Snuffleupagus?
I got a second chance and got to go out on my own terms. I ended up winning a Calder Cup, got to play more years in the American League. And my last year in the American League, I tore both my ACLs in the same season.
That's amazing, by the way.
It's got to be some sort of record.
What are the chances? Like,
but like you said, it put me a lot more peace because it forced me out.
And then
I was at peace with it. I got to live. Whereas if it was before where I would have just been shunned and it's like, see you later, scrub. Yeah. I was devastated.
Yeah, I know.
But back to Dorsett,
just a guy that made himself that impactful of a player after, you know, being someone that was no one ever planned on him playing in the NHL. You pick someone in the seventh round, you hope it works out. But by the way we talked about Tkachuk, and you just said this, by playing like a prick, he made himself an NHL player.
Well, that's why I wanted to get into it. Yeah. So I had to fight him a few times when we were in the minors. Now, he was a decently skilled player in junior based on his stats. He put up some decent numbers.
Yeah, with a ton of PIMs always.
But what most of these kids, especially nowadays, don't understand is, you might have a sick toe drag in junior. But when you get to that next level, your skill don't mean shit.
No,
you're
dude.
A plug. Because the high elite skill in the NHL is fucking banana lands.
I
was a quote-unquote skill guy in the East Coast Hockey League and in junior. Yeah, fuck my skill. No, seriously.
I know. When I was playing and we'd skate in the summer and there'd be guys in a summer skate that – maybe they're playing in Europe, maybe they're playing in the minors, and they're so skilled, right? In a high level, summer, like pros and college guys skate, these guys would be so good. And I remember like people would say, like, well, you know, why don't you think like that guy makes it? Like, you know, I'm like, well, for him to make it, he'd have to be a top two line guy in the NHL. And it sounds like kind of hardo, but you have no idea the top six forward skills
it's
in the
fucking
NHL.
Nuts.
Like you're watching a guy skate around and hang him toe drag someone. It's not even on the same planet.
I wouldn't even have nightmares about fighting guys the day of games. I'd have nightmares about potentially getting caught out there in a line match with like Patrick Kane and Taves buzzing around like it's a fucking SWAT team kicking your fucking door in and then they throw the fucking gas bomb in there. You're like, what the fuck?
You're like, Kevin, you're sprinting for the bench. And there's 186 top six forwards in the NHL. Yeah. So in the world, the top 186 skilled players in the world. Like, so you don't understand that, like, yeah, you're ripping up junior and but there's some guys that have no chance at that next level.
And where I wanted to go with that was Dorsett was smart enough where he was a little guy. He probably had some skill in junior, but he was like, you know what? In order to get to that next level, I got to fucking, I got to add an intangible. Yep. So he would get his face caved in. Even I wasn't even the toughest guy. I was just starting to learn how to fight regularly and I'd be beating him up. But you know what? Next game, he'd be poking me at the draw. He'd be smiling at me and I wanted to knock the grin off his face. But that's why he made it. And not enough kids these days. I would say a lot of these millennials, they don't want to do that. They don't think they have to. And it's just the overall culture so much softer. If something's not working out with a team or a coach, they ain't battling through it. They're calling their agent, their parents,
and
getting
mom.
The fuck out of
They're
there.
They're calling their mom. They're Ryan will be calling me.
My first year of junior.
It's okay, son. You're the best.
My first year of junior, I showered in a cold shower because the rookies weren't allowed to shower in the good showers. Am I complaining about that now? No. That made me a fucking tougher guy, regardless of how small that was. And you add up all those little things where they used to abuse me with.
Yeah, you gotta grind it out. You gotta grind it out. You gotta grind it out. I remember thinking that when I got tortured as a rookie in the NHL, which definitely doesn't happen the same anymore.
No.
And by the way, when I got it, it wasn't even close to how it was in 89, I bet. But when I got tortured that year, all I remember thinking is, I can't wait to be like a veteran in the NHL, because that's what it is. You got to deal with it. You got to take it, and you just have to deal with the shit, and then it'll be your turn.
And I'm sure if someone would be listening, being, you know, very anti-bully, maybe they got bullied growing up. And what I have to say is, like, yeah, I'm not for that either. Yeah. There's definitely a line you have to walk.
You're for bullying back, though. If someone says something, like, push back a little. And I think kids are so like non-confrontational because they don't even know how to talk to each other. Everything's through fucking text message.
Yeah.
So someone says something, they shit their pants instead of saying, no, you piss off. And it's like, oh, I got bullied. It's like, well, no, you didn't stand up for yourself. And I'm not talking in a physical confrontation. I'm talking if you're 8 or 10 years old.
Just
fucking stick up for yourself.
Well, you can make like an emoji now to speak for you. That's what they'll do.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They speak, it's like the new sign language.
In most cases, I feel like these kids are being told that they're being bullied, as opposed to like, they're just being hard on me because I'm a young guy.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Fair.
But we keep kind of just going away from Dorsett. But long story short is, I would say that's a lesson that a lot of these young guys have to learn, is if you genuinely want to make it to that next level and you do have, you think you have enough skill, if you're having a hard time get there,
just
add something. If you want it that bad, you're going to put that mask on. You think I wanted to fight 32 times a year? No, I thought I was the fucking best defenseman in the world. I was an East Coast all-star defenseman.
Running the five on three. Johnstown or Wheeling?
You're trying to get on the story that Ned Haven told you about when we were five on
Did three. Did I ever bring this story up on the...
Let me finish the last thought. If you don't want to fight, or if you don't want to be physical and run around and have to compete your balls off every night to keep that spot.
As Tom Wilson's on TV.
Yeah.
Example of that.
You're probably not going to make it. And it's no one's fault but your own. I'm sorry. You just weren't good enough skill-wise to be that top sick.
Yep.
Add a fucking intangible to your game.
Yeah. And if you really want it, you will.
That's and it could be being a shot blocker
and
or being unbelievable on face-offs.
It's not easy. It's not easy to be like, all right, all of a sudden I'm going to be a pain in the ass. I'm going to get beat up. I'm going to have to fight. It's not easy. But if you want to make it.
You guys should have Dorsett on and ask him exactly how much shit he had to put up with for that one first year pro he had. Because I know he was getting his shit kicked out of him, and he would get up and laugh, and his face would be full of scars.
He'd
still be laughing. And I bet you he went to bed with anxiety and took his pregame nap with anxiety, but he wanted to get to the NHL, and he did. And I would love to be friends with that guy. I don't know him well, but I'd love to have a beer with him.
Is there no bigger fucking hot guy statement from Joe Sixpack than, like, I could play with these guys, like looking at like either like an NBA game or just some professional level.
I couldn't like, even like I think I like
if
I
if you give me 6 months, dude, like to get in shape, dude, I could definitely go 12. Like it's
or
like
the,
just
oh,
shut
I was
up
gonna,
dude. Like,
I was gonna no, make it, but then I rolled my ankle
like,
in high school.
Like, no man, this one coach didn't like me, and then I knocked my girl up.
It's like yeah exactly, dude. It's
that's
like,
Witt's excuse was, now.
I swear to God, I set my alarm. If my alarm went off that one day, it was my tryout, dude. I had it. It was in the bag. Dude.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, put it on tape, buddy. I'll listen to the ride home.
So to go back that fucking
meat,
this is East Coast hockey story.
Actually, I had a question for you about this. So this was, were you becoming a fighter at this point or not even yet?
Well, I would always fight about 6 to 10 times in junior. I always had a few screws loose. Like, I wasn't the defenseman that was playing 30 minutes where if a guy slashed me, I'd tilt
anyone pretty much at any time. But you weren't doing that role of 30 a year.
No.
At this point.
No.
Oh, yeah, because you're still playing D. So my buddy I've brought up on this story, on this podcast a lot, Ned Haven, is playing with Biz. Is it Wheeling?
Wheeling, West Virginia.
Wheeling, West Virginia. And Ned is like getting the chance to be on a 5-on-3, like against for the first time, I think as a pro maybe. So he's like, they're snapping around the box. Biz is on the left point. You know, he's the defenseman running the top of the umbrella.
Let me mention, this was a very chippy game and emotions were high.
Okay, so granted, all right, either way, Biz is on top of the umbrella. They're snapping it around. They make one through the seam pass and Ned gets it. So he can actually shoot. You know, he can shoot after a through the seam pass, but instead he lays this beautiful no-look draw pass to where Biz is just walking into a one-timer. Ned doesn't hear any noise of the stick hitting the puck and turns around. Biz has let the puck go out of the zone because he squared off with somebody at center ice
me and,
on a 5-on-3.
Me and Lane Mattson, he was 6'10".
Holy shit. Was it
6'10".
Was he really?
Yeah, I played in the Western League. He was a mutant.
And you're like, I don't give a fuck.
And, yeah. And so this Ned's game chance was on a so 5-on-3. Chippy. There was slash. It was the East Coast League hockey. East Coast hockey. The guys were baseball swinging each other. It was like a fucking medieval times dinner and tournament game. Guys didn't even have sticks. They had swords.
Cable guy.
Yeah. Cable guy. So we were fucking eyeing Pepsi? Each other while we were snapping the puck around. And finally, he fucking shimmy shaked me.
Mid 5-on-3, shimmy shaking a guy. That's so cheese toast league.
And it's funny because Ned was a role guy with who, BU?
Yeah, he BC.
Or BC,
and he
sorry.
Never really got on the 5-on-3, he said. It was his own chance.
It was so fuck, this guy's playing power play. He's licking his chops, and I ruined his 5-on-3 experience.
And he thinks he's just getting the easiest apple of all time, giving you a 1-tee on the ladies' tee.
So I'm Donnybrook and Lane Mattson at center ice. I couldn't even get to him. He was 6'10".
That story.
He was like fighting Manute Bol.
The Wheeling Nailers. Is that was the name of the team? Nailers.
The East Coast Hockey League was my fun. That and the English League was my funnest time. Did you know I got suspended in the East Coast Hockey League because there was this little rat who played for the Reading Royals? And
what was his name?
We're gonna have to look it up on Hockey.
Names, yeah.
I wonder where the fuck he's living now. So probably in 6 feet under after I beat the fucking wheels off him. Anyway, he was a rat and he would come after me and he would try to run me when I was playing 35 minutes a fucking night in the East Coast All Star two times. No big deal.
Tonight, thank you.
So I would get so fed up. I fought him. So I fought him twice and I beat the wheels off him. And I think he threw his shoulder out the second time I beat him up, and it was in Reading. We were playing a back-to-back with them. So the next game for warm-up, I came out with the team wrestling belt that we would give to player of the game. I came on the ice during warm-up.
Never heard this.
I skate around one lap. I go right to center ice facing their team, stretch at center ice
with
the heavyweight belt on my fucking shoulder. We ended up fucking beating him that game, and he wouldn't fight me because he'd fucked up his shoulder, but of course it's the East Coast League. They didn't have enough players, so he had to play. I ended up getting suspended by the league and fined $150. I had to write a check to the league for $100.
Like, no cash, money orders, and food stamps are we will accept.
Glenn Patrick, who was my favorite coach ever, I'll tell you another story after this about him, but he went to bat for me. He's like, that's ridiculous. But they'd sent in the tape, so I couldn't argue it.
Having the belt, that's making it a full-blown circus.
This is how awesome of a coach he was. He was so old school, too. We had a sleeper bus with a water cooler, and there was a bunch of ice in it, and his son, Curtis Patrick, was filling it up with the water so they would be cold for after the game. And he's like, whoa. And he opens up his briefcase. He did not have one sheet of paper in this briefcase. There was 12 Natty Lights. He goes, put these ones in at the bottom so they're colder.
Dude, I heard stories that when he was coach of Wilkes-Barre in the AHL, guys would come into the in Wilkes-Barre. You have to, I don't know if it's still the same, you have to walk through the gym. Basically, you'd walk into the rink, coach's office would be up to the left. You take a right into the weight room and then the locker room. Guys would walk in, and now with Terrian's there and all these other coaches, you walk in, you see the coach, they see the door open, see who's coming in when. The coach is at the desk. Hey, what's going on? You go in the weight room, say hi to the boys. With Glenn Patrick, apparently, you'd take a right into the gym and he'd be sitting, arms out extended in the hot tub. What's up, bud? How you doing this morning? What's up, coach?
And there is a little bit of a level of unprofessionalism. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, in professionalism. Cool. Yeah, but he was the but guys loved him. Guys love Glenn Patrick.
Oh, they would go
and
through
And Craig
a wall.
Patrick was the best guy. 1980 Olympics assistant coach.
So he drafted me.
He drafted me too.
Yes.
No wonder he's out of the game. No. He's a legend.
So other big story. Well, it's not quite an NHL story yet, but Seattle voted to redo the Key Arena, which is the place where the Seattle Supersonics played. And, you know, they want to have it so we can have a hockey team there. The, you know, they're... basically, I'd say probably the front runner to get the next NHL franchise. And obviously, the NHL and the NHL owners are going to want that franchise fee. If they're a new franchise, they're going to have to cough up. They're saying upwards of $600 to $700 million now.
$21 million a team, I think it would be, or something like that. Right?
Yeah, whatever. Well,
so the owners just get $20 million.
They said it could be upwards. I heard Bobby Mack was on TV the other night. It could be upwards of $600 million.
Bob McKenzie, for anyone who doesn't
million,
know that,
depending on the dollar and all that shit and when it happens. But yeah, you just take that number, divide it by all the member teams, well, 31 of them right now, and now they just pocket it.
Which is crazy, because I mean, you said, I think it's $500 million for an expansion.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, that's what it is. But no, Bobby Mack was saying it might go up. It might be more than that.
Well, that's what I'm
saying.
How would you possibly make that money back? Yeah. As a team, like I think what
it's basically an owner saying
it's like joining a country club, like you're like paying a fee,
uber rich one.
Yeah, you're paying a fee to these other rich a holes to be a member.
I think it's a no brainer.
I think it's a no brainer because they need a 32nd team right now. It's 15-14, so the new team is 15-14, right? Yeah, 16. Like so what is it? 16-15, 82.
Sort of 46 toothpicks.
Never been a math guy. Won't lie about that.
But right, except your 401k.
Yeah, exactly. No, somebody
need
else
one more in the West
for me. I don't want to stay up all night counting.
One more in the West. They do need one more in the West to even it off. So Seattle would be, you know, logical spot. It's been long room. But Kansas City is another city that gets mentioned, but
Houston as well.
Houston
makes
team.
A lot of sense.
They're another team, another Houston city, sucks. I should say, that's getting mentioned. I think just because, you know, they're a big city, they think they can accommodate it. But basically, if Seattle's got an arena, if there's a guy who wants to spend the money, then that's where the NHL will put
it. It makes way more sense to do Seattle.
And also, too, is I know, you know, as fans, you know, we like to play like it's a chess game, move this team here, like, oh, if you just move this team here. But they were pretty adamant that Carolina is up for sale. Peter Camanos, who's owned them for a long time, that basically, like, if he wants to sell a team, he wants to make sure that they keep that team in Carolina. So I know a lot of people speculate, like, they should be in Quebec, and that's where, you know, everyone wants a squad up there now. But it doesn't sound like the Hurricanes are going anywhere anytime soon. Well, so
there you go.
Just a little, I don't know. So we should see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, it's like we said on the show before, it's inevitable, 32 teams, which makes sense. 31 doesn't make sense. And
15-14.
I just hope they don't give us some goofy-ass name. Like if they're like...
Should be the Seattle Thunderbirds, the old WHL team.
If there was a Seattle...
Well, they're still there, are they not?
Yeah.
I feel like they'd be gone by now.
Like when they named sports teams back in the 90s and like designed them, it was like so cheesy, the reasons. Like they would call them like the Seattle Grunge back, like if the NHL named them back then.
Yes.
So I'm glad they didn't get them in the 90s. Because
glad we have Gary now naming teams. I guess he doesn't decide. Yeah, Seattle Thunderbirds are still a team. A legendary team, I guess. Well, sorry, Thunderbirds.
So, Biz, like, what would, like, your normal routine? Like, you know, you're on the road, you come to a city like Boston. Like, obviously, you came to do the show with us. Thanks again for doing it. But what would you normally do? Would you go Galvin, walk around the city, take some sights in?
Museum.
Museum. But Isabella Stewart Gardner, I have no idea who did the robbery.
Certain people are sightseers. I'm more of a culture guy as the people. I want to go to a good restaurant in that city. I want to go talk to maybe some locals that, you know, they could fucking tell me a story that I would have never known. Maybe even if it's about the city or just, I'm more of a going to a pub guy, sitting down, having beers and telling stories. I don't really give a fuck that building was built then. I respect that. And I respect the architecture about it, but I don't want to sit
around.
You'd
rather hear about like a fight that happened outside the building one time or something like that.
I mean, or just, you know, how a guy is like, oh, I knocked up my wife behind that building. It's just like, oh, geez, what are you, Ryan Whitney?
This guy, we got lunch earlier and he's looking at his phone. He's like, so what is the estimated amount of people in the city of Boston? Is it 700,000? Is it 3 million?
What was it?
700,000.
Yeah, but I meant as in the area, like, because it's a pretty big city. There's 4.7 million in the general area.
Oh, the metro Boston area.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, that's the Met. That, like, includes, like...
Okay.
Well, whoever designed the metro region...
700,000 in downtown Boston.
Yeah, no, the city itself is, like, 700,000. 100,000 rockets. That's, like, which includes, like, you know, Hyde Park, Eastie.
So,
you know, the whole city.
Okay, switching quickly because I didn't want to forget about this. We've talked before about Biz's mockumentary that he spent filming in Vancouver. He sent it to us. Not everyone's able to see it right now.
When is the general populace going to be able to see these outstanding videos?
Well, I know that you worked last night. You weren't able to watch the
entire
thing.
I saw something.
What would you think?
Like, it's
out of 10, what would you give it based on what you expected?
it blew my expectations out of the water. It's funny. Like, I don't think I laugh. I don't think I'm that easy of a laugh when I watch TV shows, but I was laughing. Like, I was laughing out loud at that. Like, at the first episode especially, and then the episode with Morgan Riley when the helicopter goes to Lou and let's just leave it at that. Yeah. It's people will love it. I guarantee people will think it's so good.
The cinematography too. Amazing.
Yeah, no shit.
A+ cinematography.
Tell us, when can we see it? What's going on?
So I did it with a company called Victory. It's a social media platform, and to be honest, it's been a nightmare. They initially cut us a check for $35,000 to do this thing.
Okay.
And based on production value, from
I would
what
say it costs a lot more than that.
People who professionally we talk to have said that it probably would cost about $250,000 to do that if you wanted to do it legally with like permits and all that. We did it completely guerrilla style.
Yeah, guerrilla.
Yes. Yeah.
It was me and a friend. We wrote
film
it.
Talk.
We directed
little,
exactly.
Film talk.
Yeah, yeah. Film talk is right. wrote it. Produced it. We hired a little staff. We did this thing, and it's a 5-episode series that goes around British Columbia to the main areas and cities. And we've been fortunate enough to incorporate 17 past and present NHL guys.
Some big names too.
Some Hall of Famers. Some of the best in the game at this point. Of course, some of the characters that maybe some people do and don't know, and whether they had small roles or big roles, we were able to kind of give him a script, sort of like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's funny.
And we've tied all the episodes together based on that I'm starting my media career and I want to come in with a bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which you do.
So
but
now
when can we see it?
Right. Well, now we're waiting for the music to be licensed, but the company has been having some financial trouble. They're probably not going to be able to afford to license the music. So hopefully we can work out a deal with them where we end up just putting it on YouTube and not making any money off of it. But hopefully
Either way, it has to be out there, but I hope you make some money.
People
on it.
Need, well, yeah, but what right now I put 20 in my own, 20 grand of my own money into it. But I just, at this point, I work so hard on it with this guy.
It has to be seen.
That took us 4 months of our life to do that. I was stressed out. I lost weight. Like, it was, no, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, because you wanted to look good in the fucking Speedo.
If only we knew of a major multimedia company that we could talk to.
Maybe Barstool Sports.
I mean, that would be great. I just think that this was my gift to hockey fans. Because I feel like they starve for content with NHL guys, and NHL guys are some of the funniest guys, but they're so shy.
Yes. Yeah. And I that's funny. Like, I didn't know anything about Brendan Gallagher, and he was making me like laugh out loud when like he was calling, like, that's just, it was good TV. Like Shea Weber, how quiet is he? I mean, there's some big time guys on there, and like you said,
we can list them off. Seth Jones was in it, Shea Weber, Gallagher, Shane Doan,
Boyd Gordon was in the beginning,
Brendan Dillon, Jason Garrison,
yep.
Scotty Upshaw,
Morgan Riley, you say?
Morgan Riley was in it.
McDavid?
We have a couple camp.
McDavid?
So we need
Connor
people.
Connor McDavid may or may not be in it.
Oh, really?
McJesus.
Really?
Oh.
McJesus. All right. Well, we're gonna keep an eye out for that. Hopefully, yeah. It gets figured out soon because it is. I will say, like must watch TV.
Thank you
for hockey fans.
Yeah, we want to get that.
I wouldn't lie to you, Biz.
Maybe we can. Hopefully, Barstool can throw it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what's going on. Time for our weekly segment. All right, Hamilton.
And All Right Hamilton was brought to you by Warrior Hockey. Warrior equipment is currently used by over 250 NHL players. Over 200 NHL players currently use Warrior Twigs. 190 NHL players wear Warrior gloves. Top NHL players currently using Warrior Sticks include Brad Marchand, Nick Backstrom, Blake Wheeler, Johnny Gaudreau, Erik Karlsson, and Jonathan Quick. Warrior actually sent me and Whit over a couple sticks, and oh my God, I'm in love. The Covert QRL SE stick in white thing is amazing. It features a new white, black, and orange graphic made popular by players like Joe Pavelski, Dustin Byfuglien, Patrick Eves, and Blake Wheeler. The Covert QRL SE features the same lightning quick release in technology as the Covert QRL stick were released in 2016, and the look and graphics are inspired by the sticks used by guys like Joe Pavelski, Dustin Byfuglien, and Patrick Eves. It is a limited release and is available from Senior 100 Flex Danatike 20fex. Now, my personal favorite, the Alpha AK-27 stick in gold. It features an updated version of the classic Warrior AK-27 graphic that Alex Kovalev used with the Montreal Canadiens circa 2007 when he was absolutely lighting it up. The Alpha AK-27 is based on a pro construction that Warriors offered in Europe since 2015. The stick is 40 grams lighter than the current Alpha QX Pro stick. It is a limited release and is available from senior 100 flex down to junior 40 flex. And I think anyone that remembers that absolute beauty Alex Kovalev remembers him with an AK-27. So go to Warrior Hockey and check out all their equipment. It's the best out there. All right, Hamilton is also brought to you by Rough and Rowdy. If you've been following Barstool for a while, I'm sure certain events stick out in your mind. Everyone has their personal favorite moments, and there's probably not that much overlap among them due to the pure volume of content put out over the years. But one event is on everyone's list. It's on there because it's like nothing else anyone has ever seen before. That event, of course, is Rough and Rowdy. On December 15th, step back into the ring with the natives of West Virginia as they settle ruthless personal feuds, slight disagreements, or just want to prove that they're the best brawler in the backwoods. Remember the thrill you got from a fight back when you were a kid? Take that, put it in front of thousands of rednecks thirsty for blood, and lace up the gloves for the most unique production that will ever grace your screen. All commented by El Prez, Dave Portnoy. In the main event, Barstool's own Dylan Tex Stone will look to avenge his debut loss at the Rough and Rowdy against first-time competitor and, pardon my take, producer Henry Lockwood. Tension has been building for almost 12 months between these two fighters, and there's so much bad blood between them, I don't even know if it'll last around. And personally, I would probably bet my life on Hank in this fight. There is absolutely no way the Scituate Southpaw goes into the ring and loses Tex. And look, I got nothing wrong with Tex. Tex is a great kid. He was extremely nice to the Spittin' Chicklets guys when he went down there. But there is absolutely no way Hank loses this fight. Team Hank, let's go. Now, I know what you're thinking. Times are tough, and you don't know if you could afford the usual $99.99 price of a boxing pay-per-view right around the holiday season. But we've got you covered. Rough and Rowdy 1 is available for only $9.99. It's one-tenth the price of the biggest fights in the world, but 10 times more exciting. You do not want to miss this. Roughandrowdybrawl.com.
These are geared specifically to Biz, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. All right, so Chase McCann asks, did either of you fellas ever bingo on your own net, and how rattled would you be if a teammate scored on your own net?
All right, Hamilton.
I scored on my own net in double overtime of the Hockey East Championship game.
What? Deflected in or off?
It was deflection. I think it was Tyson Toplitzky, his name was, defenseman, drove wide, threw a backhand like sauce towards the net, hit my stick and tipped shelf. And the garden was packed. It was so brutal. And then the next year, we went up to play UNH. There was two dudes in the front row student section with UNH Whitney jerseys on, wearing them backwards. So I actually got a kick out of that one. But that was my, I had a horrific.
See, I don't see that as, are you talking about?
Like sniping one?
Kind of like the other night in Edmonton?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've never had
one of that. There was a guy a few years ago who legit off a face-off was trying to rim it around, and he took a bomb right in his own net.
In the NHL?
In the NHL.
There's really?
I want to say it's happened a few times. And of course,
Bruins. It happened with the Bruins one time.
Really? Yeah. I always get a kick more out of when the goalie's pulled and you try throwing sauce to the D and you snipe on your own net that way. Like that one is because
it's a slow death.
It's 200 feet of, are you shitting me right now? I'm catching a minus and I'm not getting a point.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that Bruins did that. I remember a couple of years back.
I didn't remember that.
It doesn't happen too often, but it's
how about the one in with Edmonton when the guy, it was like the conference finals, and the guy banked
Steve
it off.
Steve Smith, he coached me.
Yes.
He, my D coach in Edmonton, he, against Calgary, game seven overtime, banked it in off, I don't know if it was Grant Fuhr, but it was a goalie. No. Shot it, like, yeah, that was.
Might have been Bill Ranford.
He's the man, too. Smitty's a great guy. Like, he had a hell of a career. That was
could you
horrific.
Imagine if you did that in today's age, how roasted you would get on social?
Dude, you'd be like Buckner. By the way, how about Buckner move to Idaho, like, before social media? Imagine it now.
Oh, man. And same with Bartman.
Don't let shit down. All right, what do we got? What do we got? Sorry. Next one up? That's right.
We come off the rails a lot on this show.
We could just sit here for 5 hours. Now I got a kid.
There you go. Not a big deal. All right. Matthew Lashbrook asks, if a team offered you 2 sheets a year times 4 to come out of retirement, but you had a Donnybrook Big Z one time a year, would you do it? No turtling either.
All right, Hamilton.
Yes. Yeah, what do you mean? Look at
my
face.
Oh, my God. Biz would do it for free. I 100% would do that. Twice a year you have to fight him? So 8 fights against Chara for $8 million?
Well, keep in mind, though, you're going to have to deal with also, we're going back to social media, the online abuse that you got a contract.
The bullying.
What a bum, like, dumbest contract. Everyone.
They signed Whitney to fight Chara? That's going to be fun TV. Actually, if you hate me, you just get to see me get my head punched in.
I mean, I would do it if I had to fight him every night for that money.
I would. I think about Chara too. Like, I mean, unless he like
I let him dip his knuckles in razor blades.
He goes easy on you. Unless you really piss him off. Like, Chara doesn't like Pumby. Like, I know. He knows
right, but
he
it was a
like,
hypothetical, all right? Like, fucking roll with it.
It's like, yeah, man, I'll do it because I know he's gonna take it easy on me. He'll throw a couple punches.
Yeah, Ari's going into the real life where it's like, hey, I'll take one, and he'll just be like, let me down.
Yeah. It's like, you beat me, dude.
I would legit let it be like blood sport where he gets to dip his knuckles in glass and come out and cut me up.
Would you let somebody snap both your arms like while you're like awake?
I let him cut the foreskin off my dick with his fucking blade on his skate for $2 million
a year.
For $200 a year. Dude, I played in the American League. Of course I would fucking let him do that.
All right, what else we got?
All right, so it says, Biz and Wit, have you ever been chirped hard by a ref or a liney?
All right, Hamilton.
Chirped hard by a ref or a linesman?
No, I would always give them water bottles.
Yeah, they were like my buddies, I hope. I yelled at one about an offside call. He missed an offside, and I screamed at him, and Recky after was like, that guy's been a ref for like 20 years. Go apologize to him after the game. And I had to go apologize to him. But I wasn't like chirping him. I was more just like, he missed a call type thing.
I was always sympathetic. Like, I was always sympathetic towards refs and all the bullying they had to do with, especially the guys that play a lot, and especially even more so centermen. If they drop the puck wrong, centermen
chirp
like,
them all game
fuck
long.
Fuck you, you fucking, your wife's probably fucking 20 of the players. Like, you're just like, holy shit, dude. Like,
jeez, all he did was drop the puck sideways. You're just feeding him his lunch.
Yeah, so I would go the other way. The only ref I was pissed off about was the one who gave me a 10-game suspension when he said I came off the bench to go
who
fight
was
Nolan.
That?
It was in preseason when Domi was changing, and then I came on, and he was a young guy, and he saw this line brawl start, so he was like, oh, shit, I better get in there. I don't want the guys to hate me for not getting in there.
Yeah.
So we had too many guys on the ice, and they said I jumped on. So I ended up
low-hanging fruit
so
right
I was
there,
gonna,
dude.
I was going to lose $70,000. But we fought it, and they said, okay, will you settle for 3, or do you still want to take it to ARB? And I said, fuck it. I said,
your penalty
and I
was,
cost me $10,000.
Your penalty was to had to pay the $20,000 for your mockumentary.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's right, a sensitive subject.
That it? No, it's unreal.
I was just kidding.
More, is that it, Mikey?
Any more?
Yeah, we got one more. Yeah. It's Crooksy wants to know Crooksy. About your music Crooksy. Video cameo while playing in Wheeling.
All right, how?
Oh, MySpace
great video!
Show.
Wow.
Oh, I would actually. Wow. I haven't seen. I would. I'm gonna watch that tonight.
I forget what the name of it is.
So is it MySpace Love Ship?
MySpace Love Ship.
That was you know social was, media started.
And that was all Curtis.
Curtis Patrick.
Two mentions for Curtis Patrick today.
Glenn Patrick's son.
Yes.
Is extremely talented. He would play the keyboard. He could play any instrument.
And Ned's in that.
Ned's in it. We incorporated the whole team.
It all came back together this episode.
It did. Didn't
holy
it?
So wait, East Coast League made a team video.
they made Chicago like a legit music video joke about like a guy. There's one girl in
it
the
video,
it
was about
right?
people finding love on social media, which was insane to think about back then.
And it was MySpace.
And it was MySpace. But that's all that happens these days.
That was a really funny video, dude.
You're a one in a million if you didn't out? Meet your old lady on social media.
Did you did you meet?
What dating app did you meet your girl on it?
It was farmersonly.com. Oh, nice. No, it was what's the one that cracks me up? Is it only for Jewish people? Something.
Oh, there's one.
J-Date.
Yeah.
And what's the one for a lot of black people meet on it? Vince Wilfork met his wife on it.
Black Planet?
Really?
Yeah. So, Vince Wilfork met his wife on one.
Isn't it like black people dating or something like that?
Not that simple. Hey,
what if there was like a whites only? Would that be?
It wouldn't fly. It wouldn't fly. No, there's no whites only dating apps.
But there's a black only, right?
But there's black. I don't think it's called blacks only, but it's a black dating site, and Vince Wilfork met his wife on there. Like, I could be making that up, but I'm pretty sure.
What if like Napoleon Dynamite's brother wanted to
jump on there? So how about I was like out of that game, but now I've been told that one of the apps is just to whack and one of the apps is to get a girlfriend.
Well, Bumble has, so I've never done these, surprisingly. A lot of people thought I'd probably, and even when I was big into Twitter and Instagram, I wasn't getting a ton of kills off that. But
you don't want to be throwing your name out there.
But I ask a lot of questions because I'm very interested in what these
guys
are up
to. Yeah, same here. I ask Grinnelli and shit, and I don't know anything about them.
Bumble is the girl has to accept you, which makes it a lot more classier, and if you're a scrub,
unless she's just a straight up gamer.
Yeah, what if
she's accepting everyone?
Only like fat, ugly guys. I'm just going to drill this slop tart tonight and never talk to her. And she's like a 10. She's like involved with the community and shit. She has some
underground. I don't want anyone to know I like disgusting men.
Oh, like huge bushes and fucking saggy ball sack. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
I don't know, man. I can't imagine just meeting someone you never like talk to and just.
No, it's fun. It's fun.
You know?
Don't worry
maybe
about
get my fucking nut polish.
If you're young or not even, if you're single and you're waffled and you get on one of those, that is unbelievable, I would say.
Late night, they're bad
the
news.
Bar and you have that? Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's just, it just adds another element. Definitely makes people lazier in clubs and bars, though, I bet you, talking to people, because they're just like on
that
the whole time.
That's life to where it's gotten.
Think about professional athletes, too, when they go city to city. Yeah. It makes it so much easier for them as well. They don't even have to go to the bar.
But it does open you up for a lot of problems
on the other side of that.
Because a lot of some of these girls want to
embarrassed on like
screenshots.
Yeah, there's like, unless you're Tiger. I mean, Tiger looks great now after that came out. I mean, if you got
actually, you know what? Surprisingly, a lot of women have been very negative to how
other
much
women blowing guys up. You saying?
No. Towards the Tiger thing, like women have been like, oh, whatever, all you people are back on his team because he's playing well now. Like, what a scumbag. Where I'm like, wait a minute. Like, the guy had a sex addiction. Well, and I'm not like sympathizing the fact that he cheated on his wife, but he didn't kill anybody.
No, the only thing
he didn't rape anyone.
He cheated.
He's a shitty husband, but that doesn't affect like me what he did. He didn't do nothing to me. He didn't do nothing to you. Like, I don't give a fuck that he cheated on his wife. That's between him and his wife.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Whereas, he was like a pill popper and he was on a downward spiral. I'm happy that he had his life back.
Yes.
And
Team Tiger right
here. He didn't even get to live
as
a kid. He had a drill sergeant of an old man and he was like who's the football player, the robo guy.
Oh, Todd Marinovich.
Todd Marinovich. Yeah. Yes. He was like that as a golfer, but he actually panned out.
Yeah. That's very true.
So
I mean, I'm trying to think. Oh, I wanted to say quickly,
I mean, the DUI thing ain't cool because like, you're putting other
people
at harm.
He wasn't boozing, at least. But nonetheless. I guess it doesn't matter if you can't see straight. It doesn't matter how you can't see if you can't see.
I don't sympathize him for that, but he had an issue. He had a problem. Like, hopefully he resolved
it. Love the Ambien.
Sex addiction.
TV show news. QB1 on Go90.com. You guys heard of this?
No.
What the fuck is this?
Website. I don't know where the website came from. Go90.com. They did a 10-episode. They're all half-hour long. They followed the top three of the top three high school quarterbacks their entire senior years last year. And now one of the guys that they followed all this year is Jake Fromm, the starter at Georgia. Dude, it's unbelievable. These kids are rock stars in high school, and it's following them around.
Really?
Dude, I watched last night the first three episodes. It's really good. The one kid, Tate Martell, I think, from Vegas, never lost a game in high school. He's at Ohio State now. You'll hear about him. I just love seeing, like, I've always imagined, like, Texas high school football. This takes place in Vegas, Georgia, and the other kids in Pennsylvania, but big-time high school football gets me going. And to see these kids, like, it's not real life as a senior in high school walking around class, and they have it all videoed.
Well, we mentioned like the storylines, like the McDavids and the Matthews. Like, I loved hearing that stuff. The thing about all these studs, like let's say even Aaron Rodgers. Well, we never knew what it was like when he was in high school because we just didn't.
It was before.
There's so many outlets now where you get to find out. And I would be so interested to see how these kids came up because it just didn't happen overnight.
I know. And I love those stories. And also, speaking of Austin Matthews, NHL Network has a show at 3:00 Saturday. So that's December 9th. I think it's about it looks like it's about Austin Matthews' life. They have clips of him in Switzerland. So check that out. That's pretty cool.
Which channel is that first show?
It's on go90.com and it's called QB1.
Okay.
And it's 10-part. Awesome year long falling on these kids.
And this
around.
Is why I find like ESPN is done. It's because they haven't adapted.
Not done
it.
Because it's still on everyone's
right,
TV,
but
it's just
they're
different.
Arguing about race every day on television and everything ridiculous. Gets turned into a racial thing and it happens on every single show.
Yeah.
Whereas all these other production companies are now going to find that raw action, like shows like you just
Biz
described.
BC.
Sure.
Seriously. Like,
okay, sure.
Different type stuff.
But there's way better content now that's just online. Why would people be... People only watch ESPN when there's games on, live games.
Yeah, they drew people with sports and then they've gotten away from sports. And you know, people are people
Barstool
are
should get more into the docs.
I think they've like started
actually.
No, they're like,
Bills Mafia.
Getting into that.
Yeah, that's a fun.
Stuff.
Yeah, the Bills Mafia. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Sneaky. This is Sneaky and Geeky, but it's a history of comics. It's been on AMC, channel AMC. I mean, I didn't even really own comics as a kid, but I like.
Oh,
you know,
not comic comedians.
Comics, like comic books, yeah. But it's like
it
explains the history of Superman, like how they how everything came together. It's really interesting shit because basically it was an industry that wasn't respected 60 years ago, and now it's kind of like the main driver of so much American pop culture of 60
years later.
And every
Hollywood movie crushes it. That's
exactly.
Superman,
that's
Superman
exactly.
Shit.
A bunch of like nerdy kids drew these 60 years ago, and now they like the pop culture of today. So it's kind of an interesting little thing because there ain't a hell of a lot good on TV otherwise.
No. All right, boys, I got to wrap
a long
this
one.
Up.
Huge thanks for our boy, Biz Nasty 2.0.
Man, I wish I could live here and do this every day.
I know.
Yeah.
Believe
we could do like 17-hour episodes.
I could tell you.
We'd be Joe Rogan style. 4 hours every Thursday.
Seriously.
People would love it.
He talks for 4 hours.
You ever listen to Joe Rogan's podcast?
No,
a lot of them are
four hours. Some of them, but he's a smart guy.
He has guests. He's really smart. It's pretty good, actually.
Seems like such a guy you'd want
to
grab a beer with. He knows stuff about everything.
He probably smokes a ton of balls, too, before he does it.
Speaking of.
So last week I was...
Should I mention my medical marijuana company, Sunday Goods, while I'm part owner in it?
There you go, Sunday Goods. Check it out. All right, everyone check out Sunday Goods.
On Instagram.
I'm heading home for Thursday Goods right now. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Biz, you're the best.
Love you guys.
We love you all.
Peace
out.